views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Welcome, everyone, to Light on Living. I'm Light Coach Lisa, holistic nutritionist and life coach, helping to lighten the load of life's challenges. Each show, we shine the spotlight on helpful techniques, mindsets, lifestyles, and inspiring stories to help you get through, not over, life's challenges. Hostage, fear, desperation, risk, freedom, choice, hope, and greatness. These words are so powerful. They hold movement right in their vibration. The potential for a shift in each word's frequency. I'm sharing those words with you today because I want this show to help every one of you become aware of the areas in your life that are holding you hostage. Become aware of what contracts you've written with yourself, with your soul, and how to negotiate that very contract that is holding you back from allowing you to move into greatness. Our guest today is the most perfect man to help you do just that. The reason why is because he has over 30 years of experience in dealing and negotiating in hostage situations. Our guest, Paul Nadeau, is an author, a keynote speaker, a TED Talk presenter, a consultant, a trainer, and a phenomenal man who sees the very importance of building a relationship through effective communication to help people unhostage themselves. Welcome, Paul. Welcome to the show. So happy to have you.
Well, hi, very nice to be here, Lisa. How are you doing today?
I am doing great because I love words, and we had this opportunity to have a little bit of a chat yesterday, and I thought, oh my goodness, even just the words that are going to be shared during this show are going to help people. I really truly believe that. So I'm just great, and how about you about that? And as we wait for him to just jump back on, I was just sharing with you guys that yesterday I was really, really so lucky to have this conversation with Paul because as we were going through, I thought, wow, this help that he's going to be able to give us through negotiating different situations, it gets even deeper than I thought. And it's something I probably go through in my own brain when I'm negotiating my own contracts. But really looking forward to the expertise that he's going to share with us. And there's literally steps that he's identified that can help us do that very thing. It's the worst thing ever to recognize when you're being held back in life, and it's frustrating and very almost puts you in a situation where you have despair and you don't have that hope. So we're just gonna sneak in here. Is Paul back with us?
I think we are. I don't know how that happened, but I'm glad that we're back on.
Yes, terrific. Now, I'm not sure if you guys could hear what I was saying there. Technology is just a fun thing, isn't it? See, we have to negotiate our way through these. But I was just really sharing that. Let's talk about the hostage, the whole hostage thing, because that's like a big word. I mean, this is something that you've done in your career with police work, but you've turned this around and said, you know what? This actually is for everybody. Everybody finds themselves in a hostage situation in their own lives. Share with us how you went from literally dealing with hostage situations to coaching people and helping them in their own personal lives with this.
Well, for sure. Well, you know, I don't possess a degree in psychology or psychiatry. My knowledge really comes from having examined human behavior and dealing with hundreds of firsthand encounters with victims of abuse, neglect, substance misuse, hopelessness, among many other undesirable human conditions. I was a detective for many years, and I dealt with victims of sexual assault and child abuse. I dealt with criminals. I dealt with hopeless people. I was a hostage negotiator. And it occurred to me, you know, as I was moving through my career, that many of us really take ourselves hostage with the little voices that we allow to communicate in our heads and tell us that we're not good enough, or tell us that something is our fault when it's not, or not releasing us from the guilt that we experienced in the past. And if we allow these little voices to, you know, to continue to talk to us in this way, we begin to believe what they say, and it really keeps us hostage in a cage of our own making. Mm-hmm. And when dealing with a lot of victims, I saw two victims who experienced similar situations. One was, you know, one was strong, and the other one was completely destroyed by the victim mentality. You know, mm-hmm. And it was amazing. The more I got to know about human behavior, and the more I began to talk and engage with people, the more help I was able to contribute to them. So I decided to use that and just, you know, remind people that we all have voices in our heads. We just have to program on a daily basis what those voices say to us and what we believe.
That is the belief of those voices. I'm so glad you brought that. That's what it is. It's the voices in our heads, and it's us, it's our ego, it's our mind. And I love that you brought up guilt. We didn't get to talk about that yesterday, so I'm very excited, because guilt, oh my goodness, guilt can do such damage whilst we're in that cage that you mentioned, that of our own making. When somebody's walking through life, they're doing their thing, and the couple words you brought up, hopelessness, despair, feeling guilty, those things, how does one stop even to recognize that that is just a voice in their head that they have to reprogram? How does one even begin to realize that they are being held hostage?
Okay. Now, I am a very big believer in self-examination. You know, we are the best people to determine what's good and what's bad in our lives. We are the pilots of our own ship, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So if we're not feeling good about something, we need to assess our current situation. We need to examine ourselves. What is it, that I'm feeling? How am I feeling? We have to become aware of what it is that's keeping us from moving forward. Is it something that somebody else said? Well, nobody has the right to make you feel bad. Like I can say something to you, very insultive or whatever, but you have a choice, Lisa, to either allow that to hurt your feelings or to just, you fluff it off. It really doesn't matter, because you have complete control over that. The moment you become aware, awareness is power. So you have to become aware of what those voices are telling you. And if you're not getting to where you want to be, you have to sit down and really examine, what is it? Now, have I become a victim? Have I become a victim to learned helplessness? That's a term, a psychological term, learned helplessness. People sometimes become so conditioned to their circumstances that they actually learn how to be helpless. A terrible, terrible experiment was conducted on dogs back in the fifth. Back in the, yes, I know.
It's a wait, I don't know if I want to hear it. Hold on. Let's keep that one light.
No, we will. Okay. What it was, I would never say anything that would be too shocking here. Absolutely not. But these dogs were put in a small electrified cage. There were two cages. Like one cage, the dogs would enter into it, and there was an electrical current going through it, and it would be enough to get the dog jumping around. Now, there was a tunnel that they could actually, go down this little tunnel. It was big enough for them to see it, and it would lead to a second cage that had no such current going through it. What the experimenters realized is that some dogs were, they'd see the opening and they'd go for it. Other dogs, they wouldn't see the opening and they'd start to jump up and down. But you know what happened after a period of time? They became so accustomed to the electric current, they laid down, and that became their habitat. So the same is true in our lives. If we're in a toxic relationship, if we're being abused, it's like that electrical current. At first, it really, really hurts. But then you learn to live with it. You actually accept it, because you're not stopping your mind and taking a look and saying, this is not right for me. And that's why so many people stay in abusive relationships or they don't stand up for themselves, because they learn to become helpless.
You know, I do appreciate that you did share that story, because I think sometimes you need to hear something that is, excuse the pun, a little shocking to snap us into that. But that's so interesting. I was talking to my best friend this morning, and I was asking her a question about my own personal life. And I said, how do I know if I have set certain boundaries and then maybe I, you know, push past the boundaries? How do I know if it's not just me being comfortable with the electric current, or did I really, those boundaries should have been pushed? Like, that's so interesting you said that, because I think a lot of us, I know I, because I'm doing, I love what you said, it's our responsibility to become aware. It's our lives. We have responsibility for us. We have to, as you said, pilot our ship. But how does one know when they have just become used to that electrical shock current, or if that is what is good for them?
No, you know what? It's never good for you. It's never good for you. You're going to steal something.
We got a commercial. I'm so excited. We'll back in 2 minutes on that answer.
All right.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Join me, Tammy Adams, intuitive life coach and spiritual healer, for my new show, Karma Talk. Learn how to get rid of your karma so that you can start living the life you are meant to live. I am not going to tell you what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. Join me on Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time for Karma Talk on Om Time Radio.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, and of course, companionship. Just look how she struts. It's like she owns the place. And see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
Fantastic cat. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Hello, and we are back, and I'm so looking forward to hearing that answer. The question we were talking about was, how do we know if it's a comfortable awareness to shift out of what we think is hostage, or if we're just getting used to it?
Well, okay. Now, it's going to be different for every person, but generally speaking, if somebody's in a – we'll use a toxic relationship as an example. If somebody's in a toxic relationship, there is a part of their heart, their soul, that is not feeling joy. They're feeling like they're a hostage. There's no true happiness or joie de vivre in their tone. And others can see it, and others will usually give you an indication. They won't come out directly and tell you something, but usually somebody will ask you if you're okay a little bit more than what they ought to be asking, because they can see it from the outside. And again, this is so important to step out of your own life and act as though you were watching your life unfold on a television screen. Just sit back and just say, is this what is really good for me? If I'm in a bad job, in a terrible job, and I'm being abused by my boss, you know, at work or whatever, do I really want this for myself? You know, like if I'm in a bad relationship or whatever it is, do I really want this for myself? It comes down to being totally honest with yourself. It comes down to really evaluating your life. Write things down. You know, write it down. You know, like keep a journal of your life going on, and write down the good and the bad and the ugly that happens to you, and then take a look at that in a week or two and just say, whoa, I really need to make a change here. I think I'm a hostage to this thing. Mm-hmm. And the moment you become aware that you're a hostage to whatever it is, it could be to alcohol, could be to drugs, could be to a relationship, could be to a job, we become hostages. to the things that we allow to control our thoughts, especially when they make the thoughts that we have bad, you know, that we can't move along. The thing is, we are all worthy of happiness.
Oh, we are all going to bring up the word worthy, worth, because as you said earlier, we have to program our, like, reprogram our brain with positivity. Let's talk about worth and reprogramming our brain. So in order for us to have, let's say, fallen into or, you know, accepted conditions that do hold us hostage, whether, as you said, it's a substance abuse or a relationship or a career, if let's just say, and I'm not saying that this is it, but if that was a worth issue, a low self-esteem, a low acknowledgement of value of our own life, how do we start reprogramming with positivity?
Okay. Yeah. All right. And I think really what a couple of things here. There are times, you know, like we were born to depend on people. We were infants. We depended on our mother to nurture us, our, you know, like our family to take care of us. We were taught, we were raised, you know, so we are dependent on others, what we were when we were young. Just because we mature, we become adults, does not mean that we don't or cannot depend on the help or good guidance of others. And sometimes you need to go to someone who specializes in something, you know, that you're dealing with so that they can help you through it. It could be a life coach, could be a psychiatrist, could be anybody. But sometimes we need a lifeline out there. Now, if you are strong enough, like, and I'm not saying that other people who need to go to a life coach aren't strong enough, maybe they just haven't found the right roadmap for them, but there's one out there for just about everybody. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, we really do have to make an effort to be honest. We have to have our intent. Your intent has to be followed by action. So if you are not, you know, feeling right about yourself, you know, the people say, oh, just, you know, say the mantras or whatever. And I'm a true believer, you know, that mantras, saying, you know, like, I am limitless. I am worthy. I belong here. You know, like, I'm great. Today is going to be a great day. I believe that we should continue to say that, and we should say it with as much passion in our own, you know, own houses, nobody's around, just kick up your heels, have a great time. You know, I'm amazing. I am fantastic. This is going to be a great day. But believe it and fake it until you make it. Go on out there. You know, we walk into closets to clothe our exterior bodies every day so we can face the world. Why don't we walk into the closets of our own mind and pick our attitude for the day?
Oh, I love that. Oh,
I know. You can turn to the left and it's all dark. It's sadness. It's regrets. It's fear. Or you can turn to the other side of your closet. It's all bright. It's happiness. It's hope. It's love. You know, like, but we get to choose the attitude that we walk out the door with every day. We get to choose our responses. Nobody gets to choose it for us. And we have to start believing in that.
I would love for you to share about that. We get to choose, not somebody else. Nobody can take it. Give us your, I love how you talk. First of all, I'm just obsessed right now with, I want to pick my attitude, right?
Pick your attitude.
But with that, that is a big one. I do believe everybody, myself included, has at one point in our lives allowed another, sorry, I'm saying that incorrectly already. We've given up our power believing that somebody else took it from us.
That is so true. And I, you know, like, I see that in so many victims of crime, you know, who have been assaulted or abused or sexually assaulted, where, you know, again, there's this overwhelming sense of guilt that maybe they did something wrong and they deserved it, or, you know, how could this happen to me? And, you know, those are real feelings, you know, and my heart cries out for those people, because they feel a certain amount of responsibility for the bad things that happen to them, but it's not their fault. Life happens to us. We get to choose how to respond to events. The events don't dictate how we respond. We do. So if somebody has assaulted you or abused you as a child, and you continue to live in that abuse and that guilt and that fear, then you essentially allow them to continue to hold the power and control over you years later, months later. You know, they're not in your life anymore. They're gone. But it affects every aspect of your relationships with other people. You're afraid to get close to somebody else. You keep thinking about the past. You keep regretting the past. The past is past. Nothing you can do about it. The past is gone. The most important time of your life is this moment right now. It's not 10 seconds from now. It's this moment right now is the most important part of your life, because in this moment, you get to choose. You get to choose power. So nobody can actually take that power away from you. They might shove it to the side of your brain a little bit. Then you, in this moment, you got to say, you know what? I'm stronger than my circumstances. And we see so many successful people who have gone through such adversity, people with no arms, people with no legs, you know, and they've risen above their circumstances, and they're living joyous life because they made a choice. But not only did they make a choice, they took action and they followed through. And every day they climb that mountain, but they climb it joyfully because it is their choice to live the life they were meant to live.
I love that you actually chose the word joyful. And I want to highlight this because this is something I learned, and I would, I wish I could just gift it to everyone, is that, let's just say I did somebody, I believed in my mind, I went through something, somebody said something to me and it really upset me or hurt me. And I was, and then I finally went, I'm stronger than this. I'll show them. But you know what? To fight back is incorrect. It's not healthy. You're actually giving just as much passion and emotion in a negative way. Because when I remember people would say, oh, I did really well because I want to prove to everybody that I wasn't stupid. But the thing is, you should want to do well, like do it joyfully, not with revenge. Is that
your
statement?
Yeah. No, Lisa, you're so right, because if you do it with revenge, what's that doing? It's actually sucking the good energy out of you, and the universe only wants to give you good energy. You know, like you will get what you pour out. So if you're pouring out anger, or you're pouring out retribution or whatever it is, guess what's going to happen to you? At some point, the universe is going to go, huh? That's what you're asking for? Okay, I'm going to give you a little bit more of that. You know, like, how does that feel? You know, and it's going to affect every aspect of your being. You know, like, it'll show up in those little things. But if you, as you said, if you choose to be joyful and not allow anybody to get through, you know, like with harmful things, then basically you are not a hostage to them. You are not a hostage to the circumstances that happened between you. You have liberated yourself. You have the key to your own cage, and you have unlocked it, and you're allowing the universe to give you some great energy, and you are an example, you know, and your life will be enhanced and improved and more joyful for having allowed the past to be past.
Just exactly because you mentioned about the lock and the key, I want to share with all the listeners that you have a book. Your book is called Hostage to Myself. And can you tell, like, you explain to me why the picture is that picture on the front? Can you share with us what that is?
Of course I can. Yeah, the book is called Hostage to Myself, and it's essentially what we're talking about now is how to unhostage yourself from the cages of your own making. You know, how you can actually let your past go behind you and just live in the moment and live, you know, a greater life. Now, it's funny, my daughter, she came up with the idea, my youngest daughter came up with the idea of a handcuff. She says, Dad, what about handcuffs? And I said, you know, that's not a bad idea. So I got a pair of handcuffs. I have a pair of handcuffs being a police officer. And they are, one handcuff is unlocked. You can see it's open. It's unlocked. The other one is still locked, but it has the key inside, you know, the lock so that you can easily turn it. And the symbol is that we do hold the keys to the handcuffs, whatever's keeping us behind, whatever is bringing us down, those little voices in our heads, we do have the keys to unlock and make the choices that we deserve to make. And, you know, I know it's not always easy, but I'll tell you something. You know, the moment you start to become aware that you have the key to unlock that cage, that nobody has the right to take your power, your control, your happiness away from you, that you get to choose your responses, that despite what happens to you, it's not so much what happens to you, it's how you respond to it. And it's not easy. You know, like, we face some hard stuff. And, you know, like, and you're going to feel this, like, overwhelming sense of maybe a little bit of hopelessness, but you've got to remind yourself, wait a minute. I get to choose my response here. I'll deal with this thing, but I am going to choose, you know, my choice is going to be to get by this thing. Not only get by it, I am going to be better for it. You know, like, and terrible to say, maybe you won't be better for it, but at least you will have been better for having gone through it.
When we come back, I'm going to ask you about taking that risk.
Yeah, okay.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Radio's What Is Going On show. If you've been on a spiritual journey and know yourself to be more than just your body, mind and emotions, yet still struggle to fully love yourself and the life you're living. If you experience childhood challenges that continue to play out as limiting patterns in your daily life. If you long for success in your relationships and career, but keep finding it eludes you, I invite you to join me on the free Journey Back to Love Symposium that I'm co-hosting June 18th to 24th. You'll get valuable insights, tools, practical processes, and gifts from 8 internationally renowned teachers and speakers that would not only dramatically shift your perceptions about love, but also help you understand and integrate all those places where you may have secretly believed that you were broken. So if you're ready to transform your beliefs about love, success and freedom, and finally put all your perceived limitations, fears and failures in your relationships and life behind you, visit thejourneybacktolove.com and join me on this free life-transforming journey back to love. I look forward to seeing you there.
So I'm a cat. And I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with, all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg roll showed up, like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and theshelterpetproject.org.
We are back with Paul Nadeau. I am loving this conversation. Paul, I want to share something with the listeners and yourself, and then I'll ask you a question about it to do with risk. And for me personally, I am so afraid of being uncomfortable. Like, I do everything in my life. I really believe I'm a cat, actually. Funny that commercial was on. I really go to great lengths to be as comfortable as I am, I can be. However, at the same time, I do know that I take risks, absolutely. And I have proven that multiple times in my life. So my question is, if one is going through, you know, in their life daily, and they want to, and I'm going to use your words because I love that you said this, move into their greatness.
Right.
And in order to move, that's a risk. Every step is a risk. How do we become comfortable in taking that risk? Because, and I'll just want to say this one thing, when I hear people market to me or advertise something to me, and they're like, you've got to push your boundaries. And I'm like, ah, no, you know, that's horrible. Like, how do we do that with love for ourselves? Like, I just throwing all of that at you right there. Comment.
You know, no, I welcome it. Throw, you know, just bring it on. And you know what? And that's what you got to pretty much program yourself for. Bring it on in this world. You know, one of the biggest things that keeps us from moving forward is fear. That four-letter word, you know, like that terrible four-letter word, fear. We're afraid of other people's judgments. We're afraid that somebody might say something, you know, negatively about us. We're afraid that we might get rejected. Well, guess what? we have to take risks, and we have to become comfortable with being rejected. You know, like, I am an actor in film and television, and I've gone to many, many auditions. And the first few auditions I went to, you know, as a new actor, as soon as the casting director would say no, or I never got the call back, I'd feel terrible about it. Like, oh my goodness, what did I do wrong? And it wasn't necessarily that I had done anything wrong. It's just that I wasn't a fit for the, part. Whatever it is, the casting director went with somebody else. But it was a life lesson for me to learn that, you know, we are going to be overlooked, or we're going to be rejected, or something along this line, but we cannot take it personally. You know, there's a fit for everyone. And the thing is, Wayne Gretzky, the hockey player, he once said that you will always miss 100% of the shots you don't take. And I love that quote, because if you don't try, you don't get. If you don't ask, you don't get. So we've got to be comfortable with being rejected by asking and getting a no. We have to learn how to ask, and I teach that in my courses, my negotiation courses. I teach people how to ask. Like, for example, if I walked up to, if I walked up to a complete stranger and asked that complete stranger out on the street without first, introducing myself or setting the tone, you know, for what was coming next with that question, then my chances of getting a yes are probably 1 in 500, I'm going to guess. You know, maybe more, who knows? But the fact is, you know, you've got to learn how to ask, you know, for what you want, and by setting the groundwork for what you want. But become fearless. Learn how to become fearless. Remember that the person that you're talking to, or the person that you're going to ask that job, you're going to ask for that job, that person is a person just like you. That person is just like you. And I teach that in my courses as well, is that sometimes we think that, you know, the other person is greater than we are, or they're different, they're more successful than we are. And you know what? Success in business, they might be, but they put on their pants the same way we put on our pants. They have the same feelings. They have the same sadness. They have the same joys that we have. The person you're dealing with is another human being, just as human as you are. You know, and the moment you start to recognize that I'm just asking another human being for something, I'm just taking a risk and seeing where it goes. And if I don't take the risks, I'll never make it. And, you know, the more you do it, the easier it becomes. The more confidence you build, the easier it becomes. You know, body language has so much to do with our success, too. So we've got to program our tone of voice, the excitement that we have, the body language that we use. You know, people are attracted to confident people. And if you go in and you, hey, can I have that job? You know, like, you know, what are they going to say to that? Next applicant, please. You know,
I'm really thinking about what, because you mentioned you teach this in businesses, and I was thinking how sales is a really, that there's a lot of judgment and fear based around that. And I was going to ask you, because even for myself, your book, The Hostage to Myself, which I'm so excited to read that one, would that help somebody in sales, in business, in like what, will they be helped with what you're talking about right now from reading that book?
Yes, they will. You know, I talk a lot about confidence. I talk a lot about, the formula to get people to cooperate with you. I'm writing a second book right now, and it is going to be on negotiating in life and in business. It's going to be how to ask people, you know, to we all sell, we all negotiate every day. You know, we sell our ideas, we sell ourselves. We might do this to impress someone, we might do this to get a job, but we are constantly selling, we're constantly negotiating. So if we're doing that every day in our personal and sometimes our professional lives, it only makes sense that we learn how to do it fearlessly and we learn how to do it well. And so my second book will deal with that topic, solely with that topic pretty much, but it's going to be for every person. You know, I'll give you an example, wonderful example. If you don't ask, you don't get. A few months back, I was looking for an apartment in Toronto, and I came across a beautiful one. I always wanted to live in a Victorian home here in Toronto. And, I came across this gorgeous one, but it was more money than I had hoped to spend. And I went to see it anyways. I thought, you know what? I'm a negotiator. I'm going to go see the house anyways. If I like it, I'll negotiate, right? I'll use this, you know, and I don't tell her I'm going to negotiate. I just do it, right? I went to see it. The place downtown Toronto, two floors, including the loft, with a walkout that overlooked the park, all inclusive, $2,500 a month. Gorgeous, gorgeous. Two floors. I had the middle floor and the upper floor. The bottom floor was a small office, and the girls were gone. You know, they only worked there from 9 to 5. Two girls were so quiet. So the whole house for $2,500. In 20 minutes of talking with this woman, I got her for $2,000 a month. That's
$6,000.
Yep. That's a $6,000 savings a year, $500 a month. And you know what? It was simply by knowing how to ask the right questions and get her interested in wanting, you know, to deal with me. And it's a simple formula. It really is. But this is what I'm talking about. Like, if we don't ask, so your question was very valid. Will my hostage to myself help, you know, the average person, you know, to get what they want? It certainly will. And it will give them a great stepping stone into doing just about anything they want, you know, because once we unhostage ourselves, we are limitless. We are limitless.
Are the steps or that formula, is that in the Hostage to Myself book?
It is. Yeah, it is too. And you know what? And another one I want to quickly say, if I may, Lisa.
Yeah.
You know, how you can change your life in 2 seconds, or about it, let's say 30 seconds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. So here it is. You know, like whatever it is that you're about to do, you usually have a few moments, you know, before you do it, before you answer, before you do something, before you take an elevator, whatever it is. So if you step in the right direction, when I say step, it's the letters S-T-E-P. So if you're about to, you know, to make or to answer somebody, you stop. That's the first letter. It's stop for a moment. Think about what's going on. Think about the pros and the cons about what you're about to do. If you're reaching for that next that slice of pie and you're on a diet or whatever, okay, let's use that as an example. You stop for a moment, think about what you do. You evaluate it. Is this what I really want? You know, like, what are my goals? What am I committed to? You know, is this right for me? Is this wrong for me? And then after you've stopped, you thought about it for a moment, you evaluate the rights, the goods, the bads, whatever it is. Then you proceed. So stop, think, evaluate, proceed. And that could be with anything. Even if you're about to take an elevator and you don't feel comfortable because a couple of people have showed up at the elevators late at night and you're thinking, okay, stop for a moment. Think about what is about to happen. Do I really want to do this? Evaluate the circumstances and then proceed. Do whatever it is that you've evaluated to be right for you. So that can change our lives in just a matter of seconds, you know, because we don't rush into things. We have a few moments to think about most of the decisions we make.
And I think, too, if we are feeling pushed or rushed by other people, I know I went through a lot of my life. I was so I had a little anxiety of what people thought of me. And that exact moment, I would let people rush me and push me. And then I would do something maybe I wouldn't. Even if I'm in a line in a grocery store and you know, I could feel anxiety, like, oh, I should hurry and get my stuff out of here. I'm hurry and get my card and pay. But in the end, I remember somebody was standing with me and they said, take your time. It's okay. Like, do your thing. Nobody's going anywhere. You know, and not to be ridiculous, but I think that stop, think, what was it for? S-T.
Yeah, S-T-E, evaluate. Stop, evaluate. Think, evaluate, proceed.
And proceed. And I mean, it really does. You can do that rather quickly, like, to go through that. That you had mentioned one more. We're going to have lots of time because we will go to commercial. We have two more minutes though, and then.
Yep.
But I know there's one more little fun. I believe it was Pierre that I'm going to ask. No, was it no?
Yes, it was Pierre. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, good. Because I want if you could share that I just feel like this book has so many fun, helpful little techniques, and we can all do it easily.
We can. Now, Pierre is going to be in my second book, but I'll talk about that after the commercial break.
Okay, perfect.
But a lot of the guidelines, I set a lot of guideposts in my book, and I've got a lot of great feedback from people who say that it's helping them with post-traumatic stress disorder. Mm-hmm. I've had some great comments, you know, like that this is really a helpful book to help people cope with life, but not only cope with life, to get the best out of life. To, you know, and again, it doesn't matter if you are a multimillionaire, you're a billionaire, take a look at some of the greatest comedians we've had, you know, like who unfortunately were living such desperate lives and took their own lives. everybody goes through something, and we don't always see it. We put on these smiles, and we don't always see it. So if you get a book that kind of gives you guideposts, you know, like where you can become familiar and recognize, you know, the hostage takers before they actually take you hostage. And when I say the hostage takers, I'm talking about those voices. When you start to be able to identify before it happens and say, okay, this is what I need to do. I need to set into motion my defense system. I need to do, you know, these steps here in order not to lock myself into it. When you realize that you're starting to be taken hostage, it's like digging a hole. Put the shovel down. Just put the shovel down, take a moment, stop, think, evaluate, proceed. So, yeah.
Yes. Okay, so here we'll come back. I love that shovel thing. I want a t-shirt that says that. Put the shovel down.
Okay. See you in a minute.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive dedicated community.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Me, a cat, moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
And excited to go into all these. I love the steps and I love these little helps, and they're so simple. I'm already excited for your second book, but knowing that we have that first book, what if somebody right now can't quite get, did they go to your website and learn some of these things?
Yes. You know, I do explain a lot of it on my website, which, you know, gives a person an idea of what the book is about. And certainly if you even if you Google my name, I've got a lot of articles that I've written out there about you know, how to cope with things and how to deal with things. So if you Google my name, Paul Nadeau,
for everybody here, it's Paul P-A-U-L Nadeau, N as in Nancy, sorry, it's a girl, A D, oh no, goodness, E-A-U, correct, no, yes,
yep, N-A-D-E-A-U, yep.
And it goes paulnadeau.com. And
no, it's J. Paul Nadeau. There's a J before the Paul.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, there we go. J. Paul. Okay. And when they do that, we can also find, is your TED Talk link on the website as well?
Yes, you can. Yeah.
Okay. We want to go there because this is so easy to make big changes. I shouldn't say so easy. It's so simple to make these big changes in everybody's life every single day to really create some freedom. And one thing that we were talking about earlier, and I love this, is you were mentioning how we have to build that relationship not only to other people who when we're negotiating, but with ourselves. And I before we go into the steps that you're going to share with us from the new book that's going to be out, when can you give us a story about how do you even approach somebody? Like, you had mentioned there's this thing going on. Somebody's in a hostage situation, and, you know, they're just going crazy, and they're desperate. There was a story that I would love for you to share about what is physically going on in that person's body and mind, and how do you even get to them, open the door just a little bit to hear you?
Okay, yes. All right. Very good question. And let's there are different types of hostage takers. There are the extremists. There are different classification altogether. You know, their motivations, their intent are quite different, you know, than most hostage takers. they're the ones who, you know, they do this for a living. Maybe in a third world country, they you know, they grab somebody and they demand ransoms or whatever. So let's set those people aside. But let's take a look at the hostage negotiators that here in North America, most of the time that we deal with, you know, they're, you know, perhaps criminals or maybe not. It could be a domestic situation where, you know, you don't wake up in the morning and say, oh, man, what a beautiful day. I think I'm going to go out and take a hostage. This is a great day for doing that. You know, you don't think that way. And a criminal doesn't think that way. But they find themselves, you know, like if they're a criminal or if they're in a domestic situation, they, you know, all of a sudden things don't go right. And out of desperation, they feel a certain entrapment or something happens where, you know, they grab a knife or they have a gun and they take hostages. And then they had no intention of doing this. But the circumstances being what they were, they find themselves surrounded. So they're desperate. Mm-hmm. And now their plans have completely changed. And what happens when we're under a lot of stress and duress is that our heart beats so fast, we can hardly make sense out of what's happening. We are under such stress, we can't hear correctly, we can't speak correctly. We're just so nervous, our whole body begins to fall apart. And so as a hostage negotiator, when I make a call to that hostage taker, I understand for the first 3 or 4 minutes, they're probably not going to hear a word I say. They're going to be so confused and desperate, and they're listening to their own heart. They're trying to calm themselves down. So I probably sound like the teacher in the Charlie Brown cartoon. Wow, 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 wow. You know, and then they might get the occasional word. They might get hi, Paul, help. You know, and then suddenly when they start to calm down, that's when, you know, I have to assure them, you know, that I'm there to help and that I want to make sure that everybody, including themselves, are safe. And so, you know, we have to take the time. And it's true, even in our most precious of relationships, we have to take the time to really listen to the other individual. We can't make it all about ourselves. You know, if you're a salesperson, if you're a negotiator, if you're in a relationship, or you're going out on a first date, if you make it all about yourself, my friend, you're going to end up with nothing. You know, you really want to hear from the other person. The other person, so in those hostage negotiations, I really had to hear what they were going through and what they expected and what they, you know, hoped to get out of all this and how I could then come up with a solution that could be good for all of us. You know, and it's like making deposits in the bank. If you make regular deposits in the bank, so you make regular deposits in a relationship, you know, then you can take every once in a while without the bank breaking. But if you keep taking, or if you keep making it all about yourself, if you keep telling the person, you know, what they ought to do, guess what's going to happen to that relationship? It's going to break down. And so it really is about effective listening. It is about engagement. It's about making it about them. You know, while keeping what you want, you know, like at the end, of course, but focus on the process and not on the outcome. And mm-hmm. when we focus on being our very, very best, the outcome will always be good for us.
I love that. And it's about honoring that. And I think that's a key thing I want to highlight is what does the hostage expect? Out of this, what is the expectation? And once you set it, it's like, set it, forget it. There's my expectation. Now let's focus on the process. And with that being said, I'm really excited to hear the peer because I know that's a part of it.
it really is. As far as everything, like peer, P-I-E-R, this is a system I came up with and I teach in my negotiation courses. Any type of negotiation, you know, comes down to these four words. The first one is planning. You know, they say that planning in business or whatever accounts for 65 to 75% of our success. When we plan for something, when we do our research about someone, as a hostage negotiator, I didn't always have the luxury of finding out who I was negotiating with, but I had detectives that were doing background checks that would say, hey, listen, this guy's got a kid, or he just lost his job, or, you know, she's desperate because, you know, they took her children away. So they would give me and feed me this information. So if you're a business person, you know, 10 minutes or 15 minutes on Google or LinkedIn can give you a whole bunch of information that could help you. So you need to plan for something. As hostage negotiators, we always practiced for whatever negotiation could come our way, you know, be it a busload of children who were taken hostage or somebody standing on a bridge about to jump off. We would practice scenarios over and over and over and over again, you know, so that was in our planning stage. Now, the second thing, the I in peer, is what is your intent? Your intent has to be really focused on the other person. You can't not want to take from them without showing them value, you know, like in what you've got to offer. So I couldn't go in there, you know, as a salesperson or even as a business person and say, boy, do I have the solution for you. You know, I'm magical. This came up to me last night and here's your solution. The person sitting across from you, if they walked in to buy a stereo or whatever it is, they're going to say, well, you never even asked me what I wanted. Mm-hmm. You didn't ask me about the color or what my needs are, what location I'm going to be using it in. You know, so your intent is really about you, isn't it? And then we walk away from those type of salespeople. We walk away from those negotiations. Engagement with people. If you're in sales or if you're in a business situation, your first impression, that first couple of seconds, you're going to have to make such a great impression. So, you know, imagine meeting, you know, that person as though you were meeting somebody on your first date. You're going to dress the part. You're going to be on your best behavior. You're going to have a warm smile. You're going to talk about them. You know, so the engagement is so important. You only have one chance to make a good first impression. So the engagement is so important too. So we got the planning, we got the intent, we got the engagement, and then we have the relationship. You know, people will deal with people that they know, like, and trust. And it's about building relationships. You know, like when we do that with everybody. If they don't trust me, guess what? They won't deal with me. If I didn't get the hostage, taker to trust me, I wouldn't get anything. And I used to interrogate murderers and rapists and all those. Like I was a professional interrogator, and my confession rate was 95% of people.
Wow.
That walked. Yes, incredible. And all the detectives would say, "Paul, how do you do it? You know, how do you get these people? You know, like, and it was a matter of just spending time building a relationship. And you're saying, how can you build a relationship with a killer? Well, guess what? I have to set aside what they did. But focus on the fact that person sitting across from me is a human being, and everybody wants to unload, whatever it is, you know, that they've done, or, you know, they want somebody to understand them. They want somebody to listen to them. We feel so good when we feel listened to.
Yes.
And that's about building a relationship in business. You know, you go there, you plan it, you've got great intent, you've got great engagement, and then you build the relationship. And guess what? Everything else falls into place. You know?
I absolutely love the. I love all the stuff you've shared, and I know that I like to close off with this. I think everybody, if they could visit your website, or if they can, I'd really love everybody to get your book. It's called Hostage to Myself, and this is why. Because what you just said, when you know and like and trust someone, and this includes yourself, then you can move forward, and I love that. So to know, like, if you don't know yourself, you'd be aware. You don't like yourself, and you got to trust yourself. I really feel that everybody would have so much benefit by picking up your book, going and looking and listening to your chat talk, getting to know J. Paul Nadeau, and just helping themselves to negotiate out of their own hostage system that they're in. And I am so grateful for you to be on the show today and share this with us. I think we should have you back already.
Oh, you know what? I'd love it. And thank you, Lisa. It's been a pleasure. And, you know, I want to stop off or kind of challenge maybe your listeners, give them,
sure.
Give them something, a little bit of work
an
to do.
Extension.
My TED Talk is Finding Humanity Amid Terrorism and Global Unrest. I gave that TED Talk in 2015, and the message really is how each and every one of us can actually do our part to stop terrorism, and now more than ever, that message needs to be heard. I am so surprised. There have not been many hits on it, but I hope everybody looks at it because they can do something.
Let everybody.
Thank you, Lisa.
That. Thank you so much, and I'm going to post everything on the page so we can all see it, and everybody, come watch the TED Talk. Okay, thank you so much, Paul. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Bye.
Bye.